Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. God is a good God. God is a good God. We're going to do something a little different today. I want us to stand for the reading of the Word. And that will be found in Psalms chapter 1. Psalms, the first chapter. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's only 5 verses. You guys got nervous. You're like, oh, the whole chapter. Yes, we're going to read the whole chapter of Psalms. It says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law both day and night. That person is like a tree that is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads towards destruction." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. It is the bread of life. Lord, I pray that you will anoint me. I pray, God, that you will unpack this message that you have quickly given to me in such a way that every individual leaves here today pondering the Word of God. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I used to live in Oklahoma City, and when I lived in Oklahoma City, I had the privilege of working for a gentleman by the name of Dwight Powers. And Dwight Powers was super unique and special because Dwight owned 9 car dealerships in Oklahoma City, and he also owned an auction in Dallas, okay? And what makes Dwight so special isn't the fact that he owned 9 car dealerships and an auction, but that Dwight Powers started off as a washboy for a car dealership. He started off as a washboy, and I don't even know if Dwight Powers has a high school diploma. He started off as a washboy, and he ended up becoming a parts manager. He ended up becoming a sales associate. He ended up becoming a sales manager. Then he ended up buying and purchasing his first car dealership. And then he grew that business to the point where he had 9 car dealerships and an auction. And I got to work with Dwight, and Dwight hired me to be a glorified car jockey. He sold high-end cars at one of his dealerships, and he wanted me to wear the clothes that I once had working at Backrack, and he wanted me to drive these cars from these other dealerships, picking up clients and whatnot. And so I had this opportunity of spending some time with Dwight, and I was very interested in talking with him because he was an individual that went from the very bottom, a washboy, the very bottom to the very top. And I asked Dwight, I said, "Dwight, tell me, give me one simple truth that is the key to all of your success." And he told me, he says, "If you're not making money, you're spending money." I was like, "That it? Like, if you're not making money, you're spending money? You know? That's something I tell my wife all the time. I mean, there's got to be more, like, truth to it. There's got to be something more profound, more complex." And he goes, "No, if you're not making money, you're spending money." And it was just a simple truth, but it was very complex and profound in nature, right? Ladies and gentlemen, that is the same thing with which we're reading today in the first Psalms. What's very interesting about the first Psalms is, like Dwight, David came from the shepherd's field where he watched over his father's flock. He was literally at the bottom of the totem pole. But God's anointing and favor rested upon David's life. And God literally took David from being a shepherd boy to being the ruler of his people, becoming the king of Israel. And so we are literally having a conversation with someone like Dwight Powers when we read the book of Psalms. I'm interested in hearing how an individual has gone from the bottom to the top. And in the book of Psalms, David pens us and affords us the opportunity to look within the pressure points and the heart cries of his life and his journey as God took him from the bottom to the top. Amen? Oh, the book of Psalms has so much healing in it for me because I can connect with the emotionalism of it. I can connect with the heart cry. I can connect with the healing that is found in the scriptures. Amen? But in the first Psalms, David literally is giving us the one truth, the key to the entire book of Psalms. This is almost like the key to a map, okay? That you have to get Psalms chapter 1 to understand the totality of the book of Psalms. If you don't understand this first and most vital scripture, then you're never going to understand the intricacies of David's heart cry. Amen? So let's take a look at this great scripture. David starts off. His very first word is the total aim and trajectory for each and every single one of us. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. The very first word is the aim. The very first word is the target. It's our trajectory. It's what we are to shoot for. Amen. Blessed is the one. Now, this is very important because I come across many people all the time who really feel like they are outside of the blessings of God. I come across people who have done a lot of things in their past, and because of their past, they feel like, you know what? I can never be worthy of the blessings of God. I can never partake. I can never have a full life. I can never have the abundant life. I'm never going to be able to have the blessed life that others can have in God. I am disqualified from that. But David, right off the bat, erases that lie. And he says, blessed is the one. This is an invitation, not for a select, not for a few, not for the pretty, not for the chosen, not for the rich, not for the prosperous, not for the educated, not for the elect. The invitation's for all of us right off the bat. Blessed is the one, David says. I don't care what your past is. I don't care where you have traveled from. I don't care what you have struggled with. I don't care what you did last night. Blessed is the one. Amen. And then David quickly moves into this imagery. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Now, David first goes right into describing a person who is not connected to God. Blessed is the one who does not. So now he's giving us the does not imagery. He's giving us what it looks like for the other side. And the first thing he says is he gives us this posture and this stance of those who walk in wickedness. And then he says, for those who stand in the seat of mockers, who sit in the chair of sinners. Amen? The three things that David is giving us is the three stances that we find pretty much the posturing in everyday life. You are either sitting, you are either walking, or you are either standing the majority of the time. So what David is giving is this imagery, and you have to follow me here, of posture and position. Posture and position. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the seat of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. He's given us these stances, and it's all about position, and it's all about posture. Okay? So now he's talking, and he encapsulates, and he gives us this totality of someone's stances, their posture. But then he defines that posture with wickedness, with sin, and mockery. And as he defines this with wickedness, sin, and mockery, what he is really describing is a life of an individual who is self-directed. Listen to me now. Self-directed. Self-directed individuals have lifestyles that are all about themselves. The purpose, the trajectory, the aim of their life is all about feeding themselves. It's about consumption. It's about pleasure. It's about compulsives. It's about all of these things that feed the individual. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the state of the world that we find ourselves today. It is a world that is saturated with self-directed individuals. There's no moral compass. There's no higher being. There's nothing that is guiding the individual in morality. Self-directed lives who walk in the counsel of the wicked, who sit in the seat of sinners or stand in the ways of mockers. I probably said that seven different ways in the last 3 minutes. A self-directed life is all about oneself. And you have to understand this, okay? Sin is all about self. It's self-destruction. It's selfish in nature. It uses people as commodities. Amen? A self-directed individual, a self-directed life is not a blessed life. And David is giving us these stances, this posture and this position, but he's also defining what's taking place within this posturing and this position. Amen? The next thing that is spoken of, it says, but those who delight in the law of the Lord. Now David is introducing the second group. He first introduces imagery about those who are not connected to the blessed life, but now he is introducing the second group. But those who delight upon the law of the Lord. Now, what's interesting about David's introduction of this second group is he doesn't talk about their stances. He's not talking about where they stand physically or their activity. He's not talking about their actions like he did the first group. What he first talks about is their heart. He said, blessed are those who delight, whose delight in the law of the Lord. I said this in my last message, the book of John, Jesus says this. He says, if you love me, then you will obey. Amen? If you love me, you will obey. You have to understand, for a Christian, the matter of the heart is everything. And love must come before action. Love must come before action. Because if action becomes before heart, then we are nothing but religious people. The measuring rod for our spirituality is then based upon what we are doing. But as a true Christianity, as a true relationship with Jesus, everything we do begins with heart. Amen? And so David introduces the second group with heart. And he says they have a heart for the law of the Lord. Guys, the totality of our relationship is found in the Word of God. It's found in the Word of God. We need to be like the Reformation, the great movement of the Protestant faith, and get back to loving and needing and desiring and consuming the Word of God. Amen? He's introducing the second group, and he says, they delight upon the law of the Lord. See, a person who is self-directed will never heed and never submit to the Word of God because they see it as bondage and restrictions. Are you with me this morning? They see it as restrictions. Oh, that's just someone who's trying to repress me. That is a moral repression. I won't be able to be who I am. It is restrictive in nature. But we who submit to the Word of God look at the ways of the world as true bondage and the Word of God is the bread of life. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God, what does it do? It instructs us. This is the instruction from the Creator of the heavens and earth. This isn't Moses' instruction. This isn't Bill's instruction. Thank God. This is instruction from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who created not only you and me, but everything you see. And he's given us instruction. He's given us correction. He's given us rebuke. He's allowing us to be trained up in righteousness. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, there will be a day that we stand before the King of Kings. There will be a day that we stand before the King of Kings in judgment. Amen? And the Word of God allows us to train ourselves in His ways, in righteousness, and allows us to move further in sanctification. Listen, you'll be in sanctification until the day you die. At least I will be. I feel like, whatever. The Word of God is everything. It's the bread of life. It's your nourishment. It's your grace. It's your strength. It's everything. And it allows you to move from a self-directed life to a submitted life. See, the problem is this. On a self-directed life, it works when you're prosperous. But when you hit hard times, you're busted. The Word of God is the truth that directs our everyday action. Amen? And now he says this. He says, meditates on the word of the law of the Lord, both day and night. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I come across so many people that have such a grudge against God. They do. They want this blessed life that David talks about. They want to stand on the promises of God's word. They're looking for the blessings of God, but they don't read the word of God. They want the blessings from the precepts of God's word, and they are in no man's land with God. Ladies and gentlemen, the strength and the promises and the blessings that are found in God's word have to be partaken and consumed daily. And I come across people who are angry at God. You understand that if you don't have what you want, then you're a victim, right? Well, I don't have it. It's not fair. Marshall has it, but I don't have it. So if you're a victim, guess what? There's someone out there that's now a villain. Someone did this to you. You didn't do it to yourself. And God becomes the villain for so many people. And they hold this grudge against God because they want the blessings of God, but they themselves are in no man's land with Him. And David is saying, if you want the blessed life, then you have to consume and meditate upon the Word of God both day and night. And what he's telling us is that it has to become the lens and how we live our life and how we evaluate ourselves and how we govern our actions and how we behave in the marketplace. The Word of God is the meditation that shapes us and corrects us and trains us in righteousness. And I come across so many people that feel so let down by God, but they themselves are in no man's land with him. And it says this, it says, but those who delight is upon the word of God, and they who meditate on day and night. Now look, now David is going to give us imagery about position and posturing. And what does he say? He said, they will be like a tree that is planted by streams of living water. Now listen to this, which yields its fruit in season. Ladies and gentlemen, he's given us this imagery. He says, those who meditate upon the word of God literally are like a tree that is planted by streams of living water. Listen, when you plant yourself and dedicate yourself and submit and heed your life to the word of God, you literally are being planted by streams of living water. But see, many of us claim to be Christian, and we say that we're planted by streams, but we are literally like a tree that is planted by streams of living water that refuses to drink. And it's readily available to us each and every day. It's readily available to us. It literally is streaming by us. It's before us. It's in us. And we have elected not to partake. But what is the promise here? It says this. You're like a tree that is planted by streams of living water. So now he's giving us position and posture. But he also says this, and it will yield fruit in season. Let's talk about this for a moment. Guys, one of the challenges in Christianity is that we continuously talk about the blessed life, and I'm afraid that we cast this false understanding that you are to be fruitful every single day in all seasons. Okay? It's literally like a tree that is planted by streams of living water who's going to produce fruit every single day in all seasons. And that's not reality. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not even natural. It's not even natural. There are seasons in which you will go through. And yes, you are planted by streams of living water. And yes, God is nourishing you with his word. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to bud with all this fruit instantaneously. There's a season in which God allows you to spend time and partake and nourish yourself with his word. And you consume it, and you consume it, and you consume it. And you might not bud with fruit yet, but he's doing a work in the inside of you, in the inside of that tree, getting you ready for you to be prosperous and abundant and full of fruit. Amen? But we feel like, well, you know what? I've come to the house of God, and I spent 3 weeks reading my Bible, and I don't have this great abundance of fruit yet. That's just the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there are seasons that you will go through before you begin to bud with this abundance. See, the other problem that we have is we don't have a true understanding of what fruit is. See, fruit is the end result of the tree's purpose, right? Like a tree is planted by streams of living water, which will yield its fruits. Well, the end result of that tree's purpose is to produce fruit. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, every single one of you has purpose placed inside of your heart. Every single one of you. God wants to move you to the blessed life. But he's telling you, you must plant yourself next to streams of living water. Meditate on his word both day and night. And he will pull that purpose out of you and use it in such a way that you will begin to multiply and be fruitful. The fullest expression of your purpose is when you are fruitful. Amen? But this is the interesting fact about a tree. Listen to me now. A tree doesn't eat its own fruit. An apple tree never tastes an apple. A peach tree never tastes peaches. Amen? And the end result of the purpose and the working that God has in your life may not necessarily be for you to partake in, and may be for the nourishment of other people to see the kingdom of God. Amen? And David is telling us, if you want the blessed life, if you want to be fruitful, understand that a fruit tree doesn't eat its own fruit. It actually provides nourishment and shelter for other people. And my question is, because we are not a group of people who are self-directed, right? We are all trees that are planted by streams of living water. And if that is the case, then you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose that God has in my life? And am I fruitful in such a way that I'm producing nourishment for others that is promoting the kingdom of God? Because David is saying, you want blessings? It's not found in houses and cars and palaces. It's found when you delight yourself in such a way that you submit to the word of God, and he's going to pull out of you this purpose and this multiplication and this fruit. I know so many people that have so much to offer to others. You all are great examples of Christianity. There are people around you every day who are dying in this world. And they just need some compassion, some kindness, some goodness. They just need someone out there to care about them. And if all of our fruit and all of our blessedness and all of our abundance is just about consumption, then we fall short. In fact, I would argue that we move into that category of being self-directed. Amen? Now, the Word of God says this: that person is like a tree that is planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. This again affirms what I just said. Guys, I want you to hear this, okay? Just because you may not be oozing with all of this fruit, and just because you don't have all of these, what we would think of or classify as this great abundance or this great prosperity in your life, doesn't mean that God's not doing a work in your life. He says, listen, the tree that is planted by streams of living water, that tree that consumes the word of God every day, that tree that reads the word of God every day, that tree that submits to the word of God every day, its leaves will not wither. Now, there are times when you feel like you are on the brink of withering away. But the word of God is assuring you, you are not withering. God may be refining you, and he's expanding you, and he's doing a work inside of that tree so that one day it will be prosperous and full of fruit. Amen? In fact, he finishes it up with this statement. He says, whatever they do prospers. I want a whatever I do prospers mentality. I'm going this week and buying school supplies. I promise you, I do not have a whatever I do prospers mentality right now. Amen. But what it's saying here is that even in those seasons when you don't think that you even matter, You feel invisible. You feel like you don't have any fruit. You feel like the whole world has passed you by. You feel like you've missed your season. You feel like you're too old and you're not far enough in your career. What the Word of God is saying is if you will commit to the Word of God, even in those seasons, God is doing a work in your life and He is going to prepare you for that blessing. The worst thing that can happen is that God give you a blessing that you're not prepared for. The worst thing that can happen is that you become fruitful and your branches can't withhold the weight. Amen? And as we close, the Word of God says this: not so the wicked. They are like chaff that blows away. They are like chaff that blows away. The problem with an individual who has got their self-interest only, a self-directed life, okay, is that they are not anchored to truth. And ladies and gentlemen, the thing about sin is that it is chaotic in nature. It's chaotic in nature. You walk down the trail of the wicked, and you stand in the way of sinners, and you sit in the seat of mockers. I promise you, you are walking down the path of chaos and destruction. So much so, the Word of God says, you will be like chaff that is blown in the wind. Amen? The Word of God anchors us to truth, and it leads us, and it promotes us. Amen? And the final thing is this, that David tells us. He says, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Guys, this is the template, this is the key for the entire book of Psalms. If you don't understand Psalms chapter 1, then you are missing the plan, the heart behind the entire book. And what he is saying is this, is that if you don't submit, if you don't give to yourself, heed your life to the Word of God, if you don't meditate on it, then you're actually walking down a trail of chaos. And one day, there is judgment. And those who do not submit, and those who refuse to read the Word of God, and those who refuse to delight in its Word, there are consequences. And that is the reality and the tension within our faith. Amen? And this Psalms chapter 1 will give you everything that you need for the entire book. How many of y'all got anything out of this today? All right? All right. Continue to pray for our senior pastor and his family. And this Wednesday, we are having a cookout at here at the church. Yes. Duh. Y'all got up early today. So we're having a cookout here Wednesday. Come on out. It's going to be easy. Free food, hot dogs, hamburgers. I think we're doing watermelon. And what'd you say? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and praise you. I thank you for the Word of God. Your promise is that it will not return void. Lord, I pray that we make a dedication to meditate upon your Lord and stay connected to you. And God, my prayer is simple, is that we just leave here just pondering and just having this understanding of how important it is that we stay devoted to your holy word. We thank you that you sent Jesus, the incarnation, the word of God, to give us these great teachings and instruction. We thank you that you protect us. We thank you that you nourish us. I pray that any sort of fruit that we gain in the blessed life, that we will not just consume it for ourselves, but that we will have the thought that we are to nourish others with the goodness of God. In your holy name we pray.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.